Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. Three-time Pulitzer Prize winner Thornton Wilder's The Skin of Our Teeth is now playing at the Berkshire Theatre Group's Fitzpatrick Main Stage in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. It runs through August 3rd. Pulitzer Prize and Tony Award winner David Auburn directs the show. The Skin of Our Teeth is an optimistic tribute to the invincibility of the human spirit. To tell us more, we welcome two of the cast members. Danny Johnson is here, who plays Mr. Antrobus. And Danny, good morning. Very nice to have you on the program.
Joe, thank you for having me.
A great pleasure. And our good friend Harriet Harris is with us. She is a Tony Award winner, plays Mrs. Antrobus. Good morning, Harriet. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. I'm very well, thank you. I'm sorry I didn't make it there in person.
That's all right. You know, we love you to be on the phone. It'd be great to have you in the studio, but it's I thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us. All right, so let's go on the show. This is a classic, right? This is an absolute classic, Danny.
Yes, it is an absolute classic. As you said, Thornton Wilder is the only person to ever have won Pulitzer Prizes for fiction and for drama, and this stands then the canon of American theater as one of the greats. It's a somewhat tricky kind of play to pull off, but hopefully people are enjoying our production.
What is tricky about it?
Well, it's a strange play, to be completely frank with you. It does not travel in a linear fashion from act to act. We find ourselves in three different periods of time. Two of them take place in our home in New Jersey, but the other takes place in Atlantic City at the Boardwalk, and there's different conditions in each of these periods. And in Act One, we find ourselves in suburban New Jersey in, you know, the 1942, but there's dinosaurs and there's a mammoth and there's an ice age that's impending and you know, impending doom to us. So it's a little difficult for the audience, I think, sometimes to grasp. But initially in the first act, then things sort of unfold in a real beautiful way.
And Harriet, how would you answer that question about the challenges of putting on a work like this?
I think that people assume that they've seen it because they know the title, or they. I was in it 42 years ago, maybe 46 years ago. I played the young ingenue in it, and so I thought I knew the play, but of course I didn't. I had read it as a kid, and you start to appreciate it more, I think, as one sort of lives through a cycle of life and sees how things, you know, go around and come around again. And that happens throughout the play. There are experiences and people learn from them. And there's hyperbole, there's symbolism, there's there are very peculiar things going on that I think in 1942 when Wilder wrote it, we were very far from fears about climate change or vanishing species like dinosaurs, and some of these things seem much more potent and less and more real and less symbolic than they must have seemed in 42. So I think people see the play differently now than they would have, and I think that's part of the experience that he wrote into the play without even meaning to,
right,
is that you see life differently at different perspectives.
I'm fascinated because I was just, as I was reading the introduction, I used the word, it's an optimistic tribute. There are certainly plays that end up being optimistic, but we don't often think of great, torturous theater as overly optimistic, do we?
No, perhaps not. But I think optimistic is...
By the way, I use torturous in a good way, by the way. I like torturous theater.
Best possible way of spending an evening in the Berkshire.
I love torturous plays. Go ahead.
It is optimistic. In my view, it's life-affirming. You know, we deal with all these different challenges that mankind deals with, you know, has overcome throughout the course of the play. And I think that one of the lessons of the play is that, you know, mankind repeats itself. We see so many of the different activities and instances that happen in our own lives as singular, when in fact, you know, they've been lived by so many other people through time. So, yeah, it's definitely an optimistic vision of the play.
And Harriet?
Well, some of the issues are global, and some of them really are the challenges of just small domestic situations, like how to be a good wife or mother or husband, you know, and a father to children, and how to make a family, and what does it really mean to be a family. And along with all these huge issues that are happening in the world, there's something that focuses in constantly, even as it expands in the next scene into something else. So I think it's a very beautiful play, and I think it is very optimistic. And I think it's the challenges aren't daunting to the audience. They're just involving. I think people are really finding it very interesting rather than sort of being bludgeoned by meaningful content. I think people recognize themselves in it.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, there's some really, really funny stuff in the show. And I think that's really wise, because we're talking about like some big, big things, you know, the climate, refugees, you know, mankind's responsibility to other men. So this is not stuff that, you know, you want to sit down and like, you know, beat over the head for, you know, two and three quarters hours. Because we have so much funny and so many funny moments and so much comedy that takes place throughout, it comes in a sort of lighthearted way. And even though the laughs might be bittersweet at times, I think you really have a complete evening in the theater with laughs and tears and the whole nine.
Harriet, tell us a little bit about Mrs. Antrobus and this character.
Well, I parts of her I'm finding still mysterious, and there's so much room for growth in all these characters. I think they start out not knowing themselves ever so well, and like through any relationship, you learn about yourself as you go along in life, and bouncing back and forth between people. So I think the third act of these people is really much more of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, they've become these people because of their experiences. So, but the characters do seem sort of flat to me in the very beginning, and not a whole lot of dimension. And they're so sure they're right about everything. And so that's who she is in the beginning. She's so sure of her rightness and correctness, and I can see how she'd be a tough person to live with. I think I'm like that, though. But I think that probably makes me hard to live with, because I'm just always so sure I'm right until I'm proven wrong. And that happens a lot, but it doesn't mean I don't think I'm right. So that's sort of who she is in the beginning. And then I think she realizes it's almost like all the people in the play, if you put them together, you'd have this perfect person, but you don't need to, because by the end of the play, they're all there for each other. And so, you know, that essence of family, of completeness is there. But they all need each other in a way that they don't know they do in the beginning.
The name of the show is The Skin of Our Teeth. It is now playing at the Berkshire Theatre Group's Fitzpatrick Main Stage in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. It runs through August 3rd, and you can find out more information by going to berkshiretheatregroup.org, berkshiretheatregroup.org. Danny Johnson is with us, as we mentioned. So tell us about Mr. Antrobus.
Mr. Antrobus is a full-on person, that's for sure. He's living life to the absolute fullest. In many respects, he represents all man. Antrobus, if you take it from the Greek, translates as human. So if we're the Antrobus family, we're in many respects the human family. And I think as you see us dealing with the different challenges that mankind has dealt with, whether it be the environment, Ice Age, the dinosaurs, you see Antrobus as someone who is trying to be the archetypal man who leads his family and is the support, the strong person that they come to. the one who has these, you know, zany ideas, but comes up with some way to create new adventures, new experiences, new good things. You know, this is the man who invents the wheel, the alphabet, the multiplication table, the lever. So you see us go through the Ice Age, through the Great Flood, through trying to piece it all together in the third act with after, you know, a great war, which we never find out who wins. actually, in the play, that goes unanswered. But it's a revelation of mankind through time, through these different periods and specific events that have altered and caused us to feel however we feel.
So, Harriet, when you think of what you have gotten from audiences so far, what has the reaction been? What do you get out of the gasps in the room, or the laughs, or the uncomfortable silence?
I think the thing that has surprised me most about it is that people can't believe how relevant the play is, and that they find it very hard to believe that it was written so long ago, when it really does seem like exactly what they need to be hearing now. And I think people walk away feeling like they've really seen something that they'll be able to think about and reflect upon, and that really does surprise me, because I don't think I knew how much the play had to offer when we first started rehearsing it. And about 2 days in, we were all looking at each other going, this is still a really great play. You can see how it's going to touch an audience now and not sort of be one of those things that you go, well, you have to know this play. You may as well go see it because you have to be familiar with it. I think it has a lot more punch than that.
Yes, and the play feels completely fresh. It feels completely contemporary, as though it was written last week for audiences right now. And that's one of the geniuses of it, what makes it so universal. And that's the thing with the great plays. And, you know, there's a handful of plays written in the last century that, you know, stand the test of time. And this is certainly one of them, because it deals with issues that are, you know, beyond the scope of what we see now. And it's going to speak to what's happening 30 years from now. I think
Wilder's... we'll always be dealing with these issues.
That's right.
There will always be a reason for this play.
Mm-hmm. I think Wilder said that the play was written just before the entry to the United States entry into the Second World War, and that he felt it always came most alive in times of crisis. And I think that people find a lot of relevance in our production when they are considering things like, you know, the climate change that we're dealing with, the refugee crisis that we have here in the United States and the southern border, the relationships that we have, you know, between men and women,
right.
The political relationships and like that. So, yeah, it feels completely fresh.
Well, there's a lot going on and a lot to explore, and it's a wonderful cast and a wonderful production that's getting just beautiful reviews. Thornton Wilder's The Skin of Our Teeth is now playing at the Berkshire Theatre Group's Fitzpatrick Main Stage in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. The play runs through August 3rd. You can find out all about it and see the schedule and make your plans, berkshiretheatregroup.org, berkshiretheatregroup.org. Tony Award winner Harriet Harris plays Mrs. Antrobus, Danny Johnson as Mr. Antrobus, and I thank you both for being here. What a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Enjoy your run at the Fitzpatrick. Thank you. Again, Thornton Wilder's The Skin of Our Teeth, now playing at the Berkshire Theatre Group's Fitzpatrick Main Stage through August 3rd, berkshiretheatregroup.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.